Natural Living with Gary Null, exploring the nature and politics of medicine, health, nutrition, and the environment. And now your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, and I'd like to welcome you to the program. Today, we'll be taking a look at several important issues involving not just our well-being, but the well-being of the planet and a lot of the systems that we take for granted. For example, I'm sure that most of you have heard on various reports or seen possibly in passing the nature of some of the demonstrations that have occurred in Italy concerning groups meeting there to discuss international financial policies for the future. Now, generally, the media slant is that these are people who are either terrorists in nature or very radical, and therefore whatever the police is doing is to maintain some sense of order and stability. However, if we left the story there, we would never know what the real demonstration was about, as we didn't in Seattle or in Washington. And as a result, we would continue to allow 95% of these people to be young, more often than not idealistic people, who, much like many of you at one time in your life, remember that, when you actually had ideals and weren't afraid to fight for them? Well, that's what they did. Now, some of you actually participated in something a little less selfish than just your own personal pursuit. Where most Americans are today, go around the world, ask the average person who is fighting for their rights, who have very few freedoms, what does it mean to have all the freedom you want, to do whatever you want, say whatever you want, whenever you want, and not realize how certain power groups are encroaching upon that? So when you actually go to these events, which I have, and you demonstrate and you speak with people who are demonstrating, they come from all walks of life. That is not to suggest that they're all peaceful or that they're all aware fully. Many of them are simply drawn to these radical incursions, but the vast majority are very conscientious. They're doing it because they fear what happens if people don't address these issues. I'd like to give you some perspectives today. The first, to give you the news that you haven't heard about in a little more detail, because the network news just doesn't have the time to report it in a short format where it must cover several episodes. This comes from the Independent Media Center, the Ad Hoc on Genoa Solidarity Committee. On early Sunday morning, Italian police stormed an IMP press office armed with tear gas and batons. Italian military police and unknown provocateurs simultaneously raided the school building across the street that had hosted various groups participating in the Genoa Social Forum. Persons in the IMF or the IMC at the time of the raid were forced to stand against the wall with their hands up while police searched equipment and personal effects. Reports vary on the number of injuries sustained by IMC staff. IMC Italia reports that one IMC reporter from the United Kingdom is hospitalized with serious injuries from the attacks. Materials reportedly seized during the raid include audio mini discs, videotapes, and computer hard drives. Other reports allege that telecommunications equipment was damaged and/or destroyed during the raid. In the same building, the police also raided the Radio Gap radio station and forced it off the air for a short time. The neighboring school building hosted GSF organizers who were where the worst violence occurred. Eyewitnesses claimed that around 50 black-clad provocateurs first entered the street in front of the school, overturning dumpsters and creating chaos. Then they removed their black sweatshirts and entered the school and began beating those inside indiscriminately. Most of the beatings were savage in nature, and again were not done by uniformed police, but by characters dressed in jeans and bandanas and helmets with police written on their t-shirts. Hundreds of Italian police sealed off the street, and a helicopter flew low overhead as if on military operation. Press and attendance was kept back at a distance. Many individuals were awakened from their sleep and lined up against walls, hands over their heads. The ensuing brutal assault lasted for over 45 minutes. Horrible screams in the building could be heard on the streets below. Afterwards, the floors and walls were covered in blood. 20 wounded were carried out, many on stretchers, and 3 were unconscious, according to BBC reporter Bill Hayton, who was present during the raid. The injured were taken to ambulances that arrived with the police. Reports today indicate over 50 injured. Police claim to have authority to enter and search the buildings for weapons under Article 41, an anti-terrorist act. Later, an Italian MP, Luisa Mortandati, arrived and told the police they had no such authority since the school resided on state-owned property. It was at this point the police and provocateurs left the building. The Genoa Social Forum held a press conference Sunday morning concerning details of the raid. Volunteer lawyers for activists report that computers were destroyed and that police stole information during the raid that related to their organizational work, including the transcripts of testimonies. Materials were also confiscated from the IMC offices that might have provided legal documentation of police abuses in the preceding days. One lawyer said the police blitz to the contrary was based upon abuse of rights in a climate of terror. Throughout the day Sunday, the IMC Newswire contained reports of continued police beatings of activists in Genoa, both in the streets and in jails. Reports indicate many injured demonstrators are fearful to seek treatment in hospitals since police have been removing people with unexplained wounds and taking them to jail. At present, over 500 people are missing and unaccounted for. Now, just a little insight on this. Who are these people? Are they terrorists? Are they concerned citizens? And if they're concerned, what concern do they have that the rest of us are not aware of? I would like to... let me give you a little background, additional background. The recent raid on the Indy Media Center in Genoa is the latest in a series of intimidations and threats to this movement of independent media centers. As the Indy Media movement has grown, it has been subject to increasing repression. From the first days in Seattle, when the IMC received a tear gas attack, there have been indications that authorities identified the IMC movement as a target to intimidate and silence. At the IMC in Los Angeles during the August 2000 Democratic National Convention, a police raid closed down the satellite van that was scheduled to uplink live IMC television to a national grassroots community television network. In Prague, the Czech police raided the IMC offices, harassing and intimidating journalists and others. And during the days preceding the Bush inauguration, D.C. police sent spy provocateur agents to IMC D.C. meetings. More recently, during the FTAA protest, the FBI visited the Seattle IMC with a request for all computer logs and gag order injunction demanding that no news of the request be made public on the net. The IMC in Quebec also suffered police harassment and an attack in which tear gas was fired into the center. Less than a month later, shortly after the Cincinnati uprising over police brutality last spring, police served an order on a coordinator in the Ohio Valley IMC, also requesting records and tape logs and to appear before a grand jury. The IMC gained a victory for the independent press community when these injunctions were withdrawn by the FBI after the Electronic Frontier Foundation, the Center for Constitutional Rights, and the Electronic Privacy Information Center intervened to support the IMC. The IMC Global Network will continue to fight hard to protect the rights of independent journalists around the world and to ensure that the voices of our many diverse communities are accurately and respectfully covered and made available to the rest of the world. As stated in Article 19 of the Universal Declaration of Human Rights, everyone has the right to the freedom of opinion and expression. This right includes freedom to hold opinions without interference and to seek, receive, and impart information and ideas through any media and regardless of frontiers. Now, what is happening, and it's happening in a rather insidious way, is that there is no longer a Democratic Party that protects the public. I wish there were. I'm appalled and embarrassed by its lack of decency and honor and ethics to the common person. And the Republicans have never made an excuse for doing that. So where does that leave the average person? It leaves them in a quandary of whatever business wants, business gets, because now there's one party, the business party. Plain and simple. Now, you can, from the comfort of an Ivy League school, and I just emailed an academic this morning who had sent me a series of questions, how nice it is to make judgments from the sanctity of a university where you don't meet the real world in the same way those who have to actually earn a living in a different way do. And that's why I rather stay away from academics. I find them abhorrent on and so lacking in intellectual honesty and very self-righteous in everything they believe. Let them go into the streets. Let them go to the villages. Let them learn something out of life instead of a textbook that can be extremely biased. Let them stop imparting false and misleading information to their students who are sopping it up as if it is a truism. The trouble is the average American has not taken the time or the effort or the desire to see whether or not any of their preconceived notions of right or wrong are right or wrong. So we believe elections are fair. They are never fair. We believe because whoever has the most money generally wins, or whoever is able to convince us of the most negative impact upon the other person wins, or whoever has the best corporate sponsorship of soft money wins. Where is there anything democratic in that whole process? In a democratic election, you should have a school teacher, a bus driver, a police officer, a nurse, a mechanic, all having the same opportunity to run for an office and to represent the people. When was the last time that happened? Rare exception, and especially today with over $1 billion being spent in the last total campaigns for Senate, Governor, and President. Over $400 million just for President. Nobody likes anybody that much. It's a lottery. You gain something. Well, who gains it? Well, of course, the special interest groups. But which special interest group is almost never, never the focus of attention? The banks. Why? Well, because banks don't have the faces that humans do. Banks don't have illicit affairs. And I'm appalled by this entire sordid effort, and purely for purient's sake, on this Democrat out in California, on his affair with this woman. If you're going to be fair, then report on the other 100,000 missing children, women, and men each year. I remember when there was an attack around the reservoir and a woman was brutalized. That was bad. What was worse than that were during the same period of time the news was covering this daily in headlines, and she was a Wall Street white woman in her 30s, there were over 400 black and Latino women who were also beaten, raped, savaged, many murdered. Not a word. I consider that extreme, in that we will pounce on a story because of the social positioning and the celebrity status of the people, which means that we really don't give a damn about the larger ethics of it. It shows where we've gone morally as a society, into the toilet. I don't know if we can get any lower. I don't know. If we crawl under a lawyer's belly, we could get lower. Below that, I don't think anything exists. So let's not pretend that we really care about someone or something. We don't, as a rule. There are exceptions, and those exceptions are probably about 3 to 5% of the population. And we certainly don't care enough about issues to find out what's behind them. If tomorrow the word was that we're going to eliminate currencies, for our own good, of course, and there'll be a lot of justifications, organized crime can't use the cash, it'll cause drug trafficking to cease, all those will be the excuses. But in the reality, they have been working towards a cashless chip society, a chip the size of a grain of rice, within the next 10 years, will be offered to be put under everyone's skin, generally between the forefinger and thumb, in that little web there, and that will become the currency. Well, how many people do you think are going to protest that? Let me tell you how many. The same number of people who protested anything. About 1%. How many people protested civil rights? 1%. The women's movement? 0.5%. The Vietnam War? Under 0.5%. Take the total population divided by the total number of protests. Now, it doesn't mean that 0.5% or 1% is ineffective. The only reason we even have any sanity left in our society today, any ethics whatsoever, is because of that 0.5%. The 99%, they do nothing to maintain diligence over the higher standard. They consume. And the bankers are smart enough to realize the power of consumption without question. Buy what you don't need.